Hello, welcome to Speaking of Sex with the Pleasure Mechanics. I'm Chris.
I'm Charlotte.
We are the Pleasure Mechanics, and on this podcast, we have soulful and candid conversations about every facet of sexuality to guide you towards the erotic life of your dreams. Dreams, dreams, dreams. You can find a complete podcast archive at pleasuremechanics.com, where you will also find the opportunity to sign up for the Erotic Essentials, our free online course that provides you with a wealth of information and strategies to start creating the foundation of a fabulous sex life. We would love to have you join us there. And when you are ready to master new erotic skills, definitely check out our online courses. We guide you in everything from foreplay to couples massage to kinky sex to erotic spanking. So whatever erotic adventure you are ready to embark on next, we have you covered. Use the code SPEAKINGOFSEX for 20% off the online course of your choice. All right, on today's episode, we are going to be talking about intimacy. 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 It's one of these words that it's kind of like erotica and like sensual. It's been co-opted by the euphemism police, right? It's so often used as a euphemism for sex, like intimate moments, and they got intimate. And what does intimate even mean anymore? I feel like I hear that word and I retch a little bit because it's just like this softer, shame-based way of saying fucking for so many people. But maybe it actually has some meaning we want to examine, and it's a human experience that we want to actively cultivate sometimes. I really feel like sexual language, because it has been buried in so much shame for so many years, so many of the best words have lost their meaning. Like the word erotic, I think, is super important and is different than sexual, but because it's used as a euphemism, we just see like gauzy curtains blowing in the wind and like, erotic. But it's a powerful word. So part of what I want to do on this podcast is excavate the language of sexuality and start assigning new meanings or returning words to their original meanings so we have a better vocabulary for the full range of human sexual experience and we can be precise in what we're talking about. So let's excavate intimacy. Okay. So intimacy comes from the Latin word intimus, which meant innermost. And part of its root is like the pressing together, the closeness. I feel like what I want to talk about as intimacy is the experience of letting someone in to your innermost sanctums and that experience of letting someone into your interior life and hoping that they will love and accept you there.
So that's of your mind, heart, feelings, and body, are you thinking of?
Well, the body is an interesting one, right? So I feel like this is where we've gotten conflated. When sex was supposed to be reserved just for marriage and it was considered this like, you know,
for women, anyway,
profane act, right, that was should not be talked about, we started using intimate as a euphemism for naked and sexual. But if we're thinking about sexuality differently, is sex intimate? Is it always intimate? Does it have to be intimate to be pleasurable? So this is part of what I want to unpack.
I think it's certainly clear that we can have sex without intimacy. I think that many of us have probably had that experience, whether that's with a new partner in a one-night stand kind of experience or with a long-term partner. I think there's plenty of ways that we can share our bodies without sharing our full selves.
So how are we defining intimacy there? Right. So if it's this process, so Esther Perel,
who we like to mention, I think at least once an episode right now,
she really goes with the into me see definition, which comes, I think, out of the Tantra world. This is one of those things that makes me retch in my mouth a little bit. sorry, guys.
For that visual.
It's this whole process of, you know, eye gazing and I'm into me see and we're going to mind meld and let each other in and bond souls through sex, right? And I've always resisted that. And then I noticed that friendships can be more or less intimate. And maybe that's a good place to start thinking about it, because it takes the sexual out of it. It takes the body out of it for a minute. And it's just looking at what is the quality of a relationship that creates intimacy. Because we have friends that we hang out with and we have fun with and we chat and we joke, but it doesn't really feel intimate. It's fun and it's real and it's authentic and it's nourishing to some part of my soul, but it's not intimate. And then we have friends that when we see, we dive deep and we talk about the real stuff that's going on and we talk about things that make us feel vulnerable and we talk about things that make us feel sad and we trust one another with those parts of who we are. And that always feels much more intimate. It's that revelation of what's underneath the surface, what's beyond the jokes and the niceties and the how have you been and great and that's funny, ha ha ha, all of that stuff, which is great. And that's part of being human in relationships. And maybe that's like having sex without intimacy. It's the fun of it. It's the sensation. It's the orgasm. It's the letting your bodies play together sex.
And sometimes the bestial animal part that isn't emotional, right, and brain and, you know, sharing our deep thoughts, but it is just animal.
Right.
Which is, has its own eroticism to it, for sure.
Yeah, all of these things are valuable and pleasurable in certain ways. And then there's the intimacy where you're like, I am letting you inside my soul. Please tread carefully and respect me and love me. And when we open ourselves up that way and show our innermost, like our fears, our vulnerabilities, our places of shame, then it takes a friendship, it takes sex, it takes a loving relationship to a new place. And it's a place we can be easily hurt. Because when you open yourself up and reveal something about yourself and it is not loved, that can be deeply painful. And so I think with this vocabulary, we can start choosing intimacy. I think if intimacy is no longer a euphemism for sex and this catch-all term for anything naked bodies do together, then we can be more deliberate and choose when we want to be intimate with someone, how we want to be intimate, and be a little bit more self-protective about who we let in what ways, when. And with that deliberate approach to intimacy, choose it when it is feeling right and guard it when we don't want to reveal ourselves. And that's not problematic. That's just part of navigating our multiple relationships. So I'm now talking about friendships and lovers. And even in a long-term relationship, I think there are seasons of intimacy. There might be places where there are parts of you that you do not trust to reveal to your lover. And that has to be okay sometimes. And in different ways, in different relationships, we can be more or less intimate. Is this making sense?
I think so. I mean, I'm hearing you talk about just sharing deep feelings and concerns and fears and just sharing of one's heart and feelings and also sharing mind, like sharing fantasies, sharing, you know, things that happen in the mind, whether that's thoughts about anything that feels sensitive. And so it seems like that is kind of where emotional intimacy starts. And then we choose to bring that into our sexual relationships when we want to, when we can. But I think a lot of us really long for intimacy and we try to look for it in sex often, depending on what that's looking like in our individual lives. But if we want more intimacy, the place that we can go is to share more of ourselves and to get vulnerable and to open up and find your own edges of what feels a little bit uncomfortable, a little bit of a stretch, maybe a little bit scary, but feels rich and...
Well, and what feels ready to be shared.
Yes, excellent.
Right? So at different stages of your relationship, and depending on who your partner is and how vulnerable they're willing to get and how judgmental they are, and I think this is a big piece of it. So if your partner is reactive and judgmental, there will be much more that you are not safe sharing. And your soul knows that on some level, and so will titrate truth out in order to test the waters. And so this comes up a lot around like kinky sex and fetishes.
Or prostate play or any kind of anal play.
Anything that's beyond your bubble of what's normal and safe. And so if you are a man and really like to wear high heels, or if you are a woman and want to be more dominant and aggressive in bed, or if you really enjoy...
Or you want to be tied up, or right. any of these.
If you want to squish burritos in your shoes, like whatever your fetish is, however out there or right adjacent to normal it is, and that bubble of cultural norms is slowly expanding.
Wait, normal is always in quotation marks yes. here, by the way, yeah.
But if you want something, if you fantasize, if you get really turned on by something that's just beyond that bubble, you need to find ways of testing your partner's reaction. And so sometimes that might be talking about something that happened in a movie or something you heard on a podcast, or kind of seeing how safe your vulnerable desire is in your partner's hands.
Testing the waters.
And if your partner just reacts like, oh, that's gross, what kind of pervs would want to do that? You suck that desire right back into your inner cave of safety. And will only explore it maybe in fantasies. Or some people get so shamed and so judged that even fantasy isn't a safe place for them anymore. Mm. And this is where internal self-hatred and shame can really start kicking in. And this goes way back before your partner, right? Like, we're constantly testing who we are, first with our parents and our family, and then with our larger community and our culture, our religion. We are social beings, and so who we are, and right now we're talking about sexuality and gender expression, but this could be any part of you. If you're a man who really likes to sew and loves pretty fabrics but are heterosexual, like, where are the safe places to express that and not be judged and not have your masculinity questioned? So this is pretty, it's a big process, I think. But as you test what is safe and what is not, what is going to be judged and shamed, what is going to be celebrated and accepted and, you know, encouraged, these parts of ourselves kind of move in this spectrum of innermost secret, to something you can boldly express, shame-free, and be celebrated for.
In the world.
Right?
Like in public.
If you're a boy and you're really good at basketball, like, people are going to pat you on the back and say, good for you. Good on you. Is that an Australian thing? I don't know. They're going to say, good. Yeah. Join the basketball team. We have coaches for you. We're going to celebrate you. We're going to put you on a pedestal. If you're a boy and you're really into opera, depending on who your community is, you might be discouraged, you might be taunted, you might be made fun of. And so your love of opera kind of goes deeper and deeper internal. And so I think then in our long-term relationships or in any relationship, this process of self-revelation and your desires, your passions, what you're interested in, that's one category. Things you have done in the past is another category. Mm. Who you have been, what you have experienced. If you've experienced trauma, like, that for a lot of people is an internal secret that is only revealed when that trust is built. And how those secrets are revealed and how they are held by the people, this is what determines intimacy in our relationships. And I think this goes back to our question of friendships. Like, who are the friends that you're willing to talk to about the hard things that happened to you in your childhood? The most scary moments of your life, the things that you're still holding on to in that... I keep having this vision of, like, an internal cave where it's deep and it's dark and it's safe.
But it's alone.
It's guarded.
Yeah.
You know? And then who you let into that place, how you reveal it, the speed of revelation. It opens you up and it lets someone inside to really the composition of who you are as a unique human being. And that process of revelation is saying, please love me here.
Yeah, we all feel that.
Okay, now you're in a little deeper. Will you love me here? When will you turn away and run away in fear, right? And this is this exciting part and the scary part of dating and getting to know someone. And then meanwhile, we have sex. And
can I add one more thing before that? So it's so interesting when we were talking about judgment being kind of where intimacy gets cut off in a way. When we feel judgment, we put the brakes on sharing who we are. So it's such an interesting idea that that being judgmental stops intimacy. And so something we could all practice in our life, not just with our sexual partners, but in life, is trying to be less judgmental and see if more intimacy arises.
Less judgmental and less reactive. Because when someone first reveals something that's new, you need some time to process that. Sometimes you need more information. Sometimes you need to understand what it means for that person.
Right. What turns them on about it?
Does wearing high heels just turn you on because they're pretty high heels? Or do you want to be a full cross-dresser? Like, what is it? Are you, what's your gender expression? Like, you might have a dozen questions. And if you're not reactive and you can just be responsive and take the time to get to know what this revelation has meant for this person, what it, the contours of it, and you can respond with curiosity and, oh, tell me more. What does that mean for you? That's a much safer place than letting your mind spin out to the 10th degree of what is
what this possible means,
and then reacting to that place. And this is, we've been talking about mindful sex and mindful relationships. And part of the mindful sex course is about bringing mindfulness into relationships to minimize reactivity, open up responsiveness, minimize judgment, right? These are all the principles of mindfulness. And this is part of what I realized when I was creating the course is I have been living with the principles of mindfulness as my central guiding forces for 15 years. I just hadn't totally named that that was, you know, for lack of a better word, my religion, my value system. So you're right. And this piece, I think we often, we're quick to judge as a culture the person lying and withholding in a long-term relationship. That's the violation. But what we don't recognize in that is that the partner who is judgmental and reactive has created the conditions where lying and withholding is necessary.
Because it doesn't feel safe.
Right.
To share.
So if you are in a relationship and you want more intimacy, you need to really inventory how you have treated one another and what safety, what space you've created for the revelation of our innermost thoughts, feelings, desires.
Fantasies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so if we all practice trying to be just a little bit less judgmental, we could all have possibly a more intimate life with our partners and with our community. Because we don't know when other people shut down because of our judgment. Mm-hmm. We just, you can never know that. But perhaps if we experiment with a little more openness, we can see what shows up in our world.
Yeah, not to like toot our own horns here, but I think new friends often respond to us with, we've heard so many times over the years, like, I'm just so comfortable with you guys. I can tell you anything. You are such great listeners. These are kind of our superpowers. And I think it's because we've developed them through our sex education work and through hearing so many people's stories from doing massage and loving and holding people in that space. And then we just bring it into our friendships. And for a lot of people, that feels new. It feels refreshing.
Or yummy. Yeah.
Yeah. To have people that they can say anything to and we hold it with respect and curiosity. And we've found recently, like, friends have disclosed things that I've had major judgments on. And I've found my lines of like, ooh, I cannot support that racism or that misogyny. And I need to call out that behavior as, I see that that's part of who you are. I'm finding it problematic and we need to talk about that. So we do have boundaries. just to say. But where I was going is before, so we have this process of emotional intimacy and revelation. And then layered on top of that in sexual relationships is the intimacy of sex, which when you think about it, for social beings, sex is intimate just in the mashing together of our bodies and our microbiomes. Like kissing and swapping spit is super intimate and it means something in human society. And then you get into genitals and putting genitals next to each other and into each other and buttholes and putting fingers and penises and buttholes. Like all of these sex acts are intimate in that we let someone physically into our body. And this is why for some people we have what we call a hierarchy of orifices. For some people, oral sex feels more or less intimate than vaginal sex, which feels more or less intimate than anal sex. And all of these things, for most people, feels more intimate than holding hands or exchanging massage or even naked cuddling. So if you can kind of think for yourself, what is your hierarchy of intimate acts? What feels more intimate? Is it putting a body part inside you, or is it being fully naked and revealing your flesh?
But also some people may have experienced a kiss that feels more intimate than full-on sex with somebody because of the emotional and environmental context.
Right. So these are the layers that come together, right? It's the emotional intimacy and then the physical intimacy and how those planes meet each other in different acts.
The complexity of sex.
Yeah. But I think with that, if you're casually dating, if you're dating new people, we need to be a little bit more deliberate and mindful about what kind of sex we have at what point with new partners. Mm. And this is part of what we talked about back at the Aziz Ansari episode called It's More Than Bad Sex. That we all just really need to slow way down and not assume that penetrative intercourse or even oral sex is on the menu until we get to know each other. And these things have become almost standard that you start hooking up with someone and like, yeah, you're going to touch genitals. And what if that was way out there? And this isn't out of prudery, but it's out of choosing who you're intimate with and who you trust. Or saying, I'm going to do this physically intimate thing, but not get emotionally intimate. And see how that feels for you. Can you have casual sex? Or can you not? Because I think different people have different tolerances for physical sex with or without intimacy. Because there is this thing called oxytocin, which is released during sex and orgasm. It's a bonding hormone. It's also released during eye gazing. Right? If you look at someone in the eye for 10 seconds or more, your brain triggers oxytocin. And so if you're not willing to look someone in the eye for 10 seconds, maybe you're not ready to release that oxytocin elsewhere. And there's a term I saw recently, oxytoxic, where the idea that if you release oxytocin with someone who's not safe, and then they never call you back, they disrespect you, they're cruel to you, you already have that bonding hormone going. And so you actually create kind of a toxic state in your mind, in your body, in relationship to that person. It's that I've revealed part of myself to you. We have bonded chemically, and now I am being hurt or abandoned from that place of vulnerability and bonding. So I think we just need to be more deliberate with these things. And in a long-term relationship, if you're not feeling good about your relationship, if you feel like you've been betrayed or violated by your partner or ignored by your partner, then there's some repair work to do there before you want to get deeply intimate again. And sometimes you call this out. Is this what you mean by connected?
Probably, yes, yes, yes.
Like sometimes if we're busy and rushing around or if we've been having little squabbles, Charlotte will say to me, I just don't feel connected to you. You know, I'll go in for like an embrace, a kiss, a hug, and you're just not ready to quite go there because you're not feeling emotionally intimate. And so you don't want to get physically intimate. And so we need to name these things and really get good at self-awareness in these realms and understand what kind of intimacy are you wanting, with who, at what pace, where are you safe. And that's just a part of self-care, I think, is protecting those parts of you that need protecting, feeling out slowly who they're safe to be revealed to. And with your body, who do you want to let in? What does that mean to you to have vaginal penetration or to kiss someone? And I think for men who have never been penetrated, to explore anal penetration, to understand what it means to let someone physically into your body, to trust them with an orifice, and to feel the difference when someone respects your body enough to penetrate beautifully and gracefully and slowly and at your own pace versus disrespecting your body to rush inside for their own pleasure. This is a moment where intimacy is lost or broken. Often is at the moment of penetration, how someone's penetrating you.
And knowing that in a long-term relationship, that intimacy is something that you regenerate again and again and again.
It's not a given.
It's not there. And there's sometimes what you say to me, you're like, we're married, we have a kid, we spend all day together.
How are we not connected?
How can we be any more connected? I'm like, yeah. No, I get the larger context. We're super connected. It's just that I haven't had a person-to-person, non-co-parent planning kind of moment, and I just need a couple of those moments before I can like sink into your body.
Yeah. And sometimes all it is just looking each other's eyes and like, hi,
we're
here. I remember you.
And that's just what I mean of like presence, quiet, togetherness. And it's a beautiful thing, but we can miss it if we don't have it for long. And I think that we all as humans deeply crave being seen, being loved,
but by being the right present people.
To somebody else. Sure.
I don't think it's enough to say, and this is why the intimacy thing kind of, I think, maybe bothers me, because as someone with a lifetime of trauma, as someone with, you know, being genderqueer, being queer, being a woman, all of these things that have made it unsafe for me to be who I am in this world, being in a family of origin that was unsafe.
Mm-hmm.
When I hear intimacy, I'm kind of like, oh, hell no, you don't. I am a wall, like, bounce the fuck off. You do not get inside, because it is much safer to put up that wall. And then it's only in long-term relationships, in long friendships, that I find myself safe enough to reveal and to be who I am fully and to relax in that place and feel safe. And this is why I cherish, you know, a few good friends who I feel totally safe being myself with. And when we meet a new friend where I find that sense of safety, it's like an elixir.
Mm.
Right? And so different people have different parts of themselves that can feel safe or not out in the world. And we need to modulate our intimacy accordingly to keep ourselves safe. Right? We don't walk around as social beings just fully exposed, shouting our fetishes when we walk into a coffee shop, right? Like, that would be awkward and uncomfortable for a lot of people, right? Nor do we reveal our most tender spots to everyone.
So. Right, and people who do, sometimes it feels, like, totally awkward and bizarre. I guess this is partly kind of what happens with social media. You get to learn way more about somebody than you should based on your relationship.
And that's a whole other conversation, is intimacy on social media. Forget about it. That's complicated and causing a lot of people pain in really weird ways. It's like, I just dumped my guts and I only got 3 likes. What does that mean? It's like, well, maybe the algorithm's fucking with you and your friends are actually there for you. But that oxytocin dopamine thing on social media, whole other conversation. Okay. So I think this is what I wanted to say about intimacy.
Just about the tantra moments of mind melding, but partly that those things, that kind of experiment happens in groups where you don't know each other, but you're doing a tantra experiment.
Yeah, I did all of these workshops where it was like, go around the circle and eye gaze with everyone for 3 minutes and let them in and be vulnerable. And this is how you see God. And it was like, that did not feel safe for me, nor desirable to mind meld with all these people, some of which I just didn't even want to be next to, let alone like let into my body. So I think that's maybe where some of my reaction, but even in a long-term relationship, my darling dear, there are moments I feel more or less safe doing that.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And we need to think about these things. Like, how do you create the context for safety?
Right.
How do you choose when to let someone in versus to be safe and secure in your cave of rubies and diamonds? I have a very sparkly inner cave. I don't know what your inner cave looks like. Mine is a really lovely place to reside. So I don't know. I felt like I kept seeing this word, and intimacy just comes up all the time when you're reading about sex all day. And it's always used as a euphemism.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how to create more marital intimacy. It's like, what does that mean? Does that mean more frequent sex? Or does that mean the conditions where you're safe to reveal who you truly are?
So that you can have more sex.
Let's be specific here, folks. And I think it's really important to, as I said, excavate our sexual vocabulary from the sediment of centuries of shame and fear and oppression. Pull these words out and start building for ourselves a new vocabulary where we know what we mean, we can say what we feel, we can be precise. And we hope this episode has helped you do that.
So I hope through this episode you can reflect on what level of intimacy you feel like you're experiencing right now. Are you craving more? What are you willing to share more of? And who do you want to share that with in a time that is sensible and safe to share? I think that people make the mistake sometimes of sharing in a moment where someone else can't be present with you, and then you kind of, it misfires and then they can't hear you. So you got to be intentional about when and how and you're sharing. And yeah, what feels edgy to risk and to open up and share from your inner landscape. And that's probably where it gets rich and interesting.
Yeah. And this is with yourself, with your friends, with your family, with your lovers, with your partners. All of these relationships have some terrain of intimacy to be explored.
That's so interesting, the terrain of intimacy with yourself.
Oh,
of course, that's where it starts. What do you not
big one.
Tell yourself? What do you not want to look at? Yeah, totally starting.
Because that judgment starts when you have a thought. Right. Do you celebrate that thought? Do you judge it? Do you assign meaning to it? Do you react or do you respond?
Kindly to yourself, compassionately. Yeah.
You are the first occupant of your own cave. We hope this has been useful to you. Come on over to pleasuremechanics.com. We have a huge archive of previous podcast episodes. We are quickly approaching episode 300.
Oh my goodness gracious me.
Right?
Wow.
Big. And you can explore all these episodes. If it feels intimidating to think about 270 some episodes, we have a sex index where we organize all of our content, all of our podcast episodes, our articles by keywords. So you can go through an alphabetical list. It's like your own little sex in dictionary. I love it. The sex index, and browse for what's on your mind or see what words spark your interest and click there and explore the site. And while you are there at pleasuremechanics.com, sign up for the Erotic Essentials, which will guide you through some of our foundational attitudes, some of our key strategies towards having a healthier, happier, more fulfilling sex life. And then when you are ready to master new erotic skills, definitely check out our online courses around foreplay mastery, couples massage, erotic spanking, butt play. So when you are ready
and
and the brand new mindful sex course, which has been my baby for the past few years, and I'm really excited to be sharing it with you. Come on over to pleasuremechanics.com. You will find this entire offering, our galaxy for you to explore. And you can always be in touch with us and let us know what's on your mind. We love hearing from you. All right, I'm Chris.
I'm Charlotte.
We are the Pleasure Mechanics.
Wishing you a lifetime of pleasure.